Today, we continue with part two of MindGPT with Matteo Morali, picking up on the interview as we talk about power, success, money, and other things your ayahuasca trip will make you realize don't really matter. That is, until you realize how much money you just spent going to Peru for a legitimate ayahuasca trip. Yes, this episode is a hypnotic trip, part two, how you can achieve all of it. Get your money mind straight. It's Open Loops. So now that we've kind of talked about self-mastery, let's talk a little bit more about bringing things out there into the real world. I mean, look, I probably, you know, I was drawn to this stuff early on because of seeing how hypnotists work with others and the changes that were possible immediately. And then there was this promise of covert hypnosis and this idea that you could have a normal conversation and then maybe this person will somehow forget something or they'll transform. And I really believed that. Some would argue that Erickson actually did this. I think it was contextually, it made sense that you could conversationally make somebody hallucinate, which I'm going, what? Also, is that possible to do completely covertly in a conversation? All of a sudden, they're like, whoa, why am I now seeing this thing that's not there? Jury's still out. I haven't played around with that too much. Also, there gets into ethics about, you know, how much do you just want to covertly hypnotize someone for your amusement and experimentation, which some hypnotists have been a little more daring than I have been. I'm always thinking about, you know, how guilty I'm going to feel after trying something out like that on somebody. But yeah, I'm curious in your experience studying covert hypnosis, and you wrote a book on this, which is fantastic. You can get it on Amazon. But how powerful is this thing? I mean, is it really, what are the transformations that conversationally you believe, have just even blown your mind how well they worked?
Well, I want to take a specific angle on that question to really break down what you mentioned, you know, making people hallucinate just by conversational stuff.
Right.
And that is something I touch upon in chapter 6, I think, of my book, where the best way I can answer that question is by getting it back to the identity level. Who are you? And who is the person listening to you in relationship to you? And in which context? If you are, very simple context, you are a dude who comes back, and this is a real story, not from me, well, not from mine, but a real story. A dude comes back from his home country, he goes back to the US. The custom agents take the guy, take his passport, bring him into a room with no video camera, no recording, and they are harsh on him, asking questions about what the hell is he doing here, why is he coming to the US today, all that stuff. The guy said he pissed himself he shit his pants, whereas he didn't have anything to hide. But just this situation, this context, it was putting him in such an amount of fear that he was like, guys, don't do anything illegal, because the kind of pressure I had, haven't done without having done anything illegal. If you do, imagine doing being in that situation, having done something illegal, you know.
Yeah.
But it's not the point of the story. The point is that who is the person talking to you, and what do you perceive? What do you think of the person? How do you evaluate in terms of authority levels? How do you evaluate the person talking to you is way more important than what do you say specifically. So it's
Right.
much more about how much value and how much power do you give to the person influencing you. When people go on stage seeing somebody, just the social proof of being in front of the stage with 500 people watching one single guy talking and everybody's laughing or applauding whenever the guy is saying something, this is such a powerful effect for influence that from that point, the guy may use the simplest language patterns on earth. He may still get you to hallucinate without any trance, without any induction, I mean, just because of that situation. The situation plays, in my opinion, and there are many versions, and tons of gurus will say, oh yeah, I have the secret covert hypnosis words to manipulate everybody.
Right.
I don't buy into that shit, not anymore, at least. I used to think it was true too, but I have experimented so much with that in every possible context of life you can think of. I do think I have experimented in every context of life. And honestly, it only comes down to who you are in relationship with the person you are influencing. If that person is evaluating you as someone of higher authority, if that person thinks you are somehow of higher authority compared to him or her, you will have some superpower over that person. No matter what you say, doesn't matter you use some super advanced language trick or just the blunt command of do this now, you will have that power because that person is attributing that power to you. It's more a
Yeah.
self-hypnosis thing. So the whole conversational hypnosis, obviously there are words that are more likely to influence people, and this is what I teach in my book and my courses, some sentence structures. But what I do in many of my courses, and therefore in my book on chapter 6, I think, is making you sharpen and reevaluate who are you and who do you want to be and how do you want to be seen by the people who are listening to you. Because if it is not clear, and if you don't send a powerful message from the interior of who you are and what you can do, people might just not even listen to you. Whereas if you are considered a source of authority, then you can say any simple language pattern, it will work because of the social proof or the authority factor. This is all again coming to the evolutionary psychology. I could go on this for hours.
Yeah.
Basically, it's much more about how the person is how much value the person attributes to you in that specific context, rather than which specific language pattern do you use, in my opinion.
Yeah. So then, what is the value of covert hypnosis then? I mean, could you? I know there are some people that just teach courses on authority, and that is hypnosis. I mean, that is covert hypnosis.
Because, well, the value of the language is that when you are in a context where you don't have that authority, this language is still helpful. This language is still more helpful. Specifically, it is the tool, let's say the tool of the poor. When the poor, in terms of you're not famous, you're not
Yeah.
rich, you don't have any social power, you're not a politician who has massive influence, then what do? Then you use the simplest tool at your disposal. And the simplest tool at your disposal is language and communication and nonverbal reading. This is the simplest thing you can do. So getting somebody to be at the level of, some Donald Trump who has massive influence over thousands of people, it would take 20, 30 years to get you there,
Yeah.
even less than this. So it is very difficult to bring some to get that kind of influence over people. Whereas using language is maybe not as effective, but it is way faster. You can use language in a few months of training to influence others. Whereas doing this kind of massive authority influence just by the person you are, it requires either money or social connections. or some social setup where when you're on stage where in front of thousands of people, any of those things require, I think, a lot more time, depending on where you start from, may take a lot more time than just learning a few language tricks. So language is way faster to use to influence others than real life authority.
Yeah, but and you, there definitely are base things that people need to pull off this language. I mean, I do think a lot of people make the mistake of the not working on themselves and then going out there and starting to say these weird patterns to people, and all of a sudden it's I guess, yeah, in your experience, you know, what is the least amount of work someone needs to do on themselves to be able to pull off conversational hypnosis?
The least amount of work, conversational within which context, therapy and coaching or other context?
I guess I kind of took a broader view. I mean, if you're going to go out in the world and be more persuasive, be more influential in a very covert way, do you
Okay,
think?
one thing I sorry,
No, I was going to
continue
say, I
on.
mean, congruence, maybe. Just being a congruent person, you do have to, you can't be completely an incongruent person. That's the first thing that comes to mind, but I'm curious what your answer is.
I was going to answer something similar to congruence. It is the reason I ask about either coaching and therapy is because, and I touch on that in many courses and content, it is that whenever you think about covert hypnosis, first nail it down to what specific context of life do you want to use it the most into. Whenever people say, oh, it's just to be more influential, stop kidding me. It's either because you want recognition or you want money or you want girls. This is one of the three. And
Right.
stop kidding. This is one of those three. So just first nail down which one of those three do you want the most? Is it the most need right now? And once you have evaluated what is the main situation in which you need those skills, then we figure out what is the one message you want people to believe into when you talk to them. And we want to fortify that message through your own beliefs. How much do you believe yourself into the thing you want to convince others about? If you're not convinced about it yourself, how the hell do you want, like you said, the guy who just doesn't work on himself and wants to use those weird patterns to influence others? I had actually an example of this in my hometown, a guy who was a hypnotist. He was a really good hypnotist, actually, but he used to be a language teacher and he was kind of very insecure person. And his students were never listening to him. They were always disrespecting him despite being younger. And he was looking for covert hypnosis stuff because of that, because he wanted to be more respected, stuff, etc. Truth is, it never worked. He ended up quitting his teaching career and did some other things and was a hypnotist on the side because he loved it and he was really good at it, street hypnosis. But it was the point, you know, he took the angle of I want to learn secret language stuff to make people respect me, but he never really worked on himself. And when we talk about you want people to respect you, do you respect yourself first? Do you see yourself as a valuable person? When you go in front of the mirror in the morning, what do you think about yourself? And that is a very uncomfortable question. Do you think of yourself as somebody who is valuable and powerful and whatever, or do you think of yourself as a dumb piece of shit? If you think of yourself as a dumb piece of shit, how the hell do you want people to believe you are somebody worthy of this job opportunity? Or how do you want a girl to think you are worthy of a date if you don't even believe in yourself? So, whatever you want the person to believe about you and about the interaction you're going to have with them, you need to believe it first. And that is coming to self-evaluation, self-empowerment, personal development, limiting beliefs, all the things you may think about. It is about evaluating what are the weaknesses in yourself that could prevent other people from giving you the response you're looking for. If you want them to trust you or give you money, if you are into sales or you want to build a business or whatever, you want people to give you money about one thing you are bringing to them. How much do you believe into that thing you're bringing to them? If it is coaching, how much are you believing into your skills into helping others? If you don't even believe that you're capable of it, how the hell do you want people to change when you talk to them? So the smallest amount of work is to be done on yourself before trying to learn super advanced language tricks, because when you're firmly convinced that what you say is true and is valuable and people will need to hear what you say, when you're truly convinced of that, even just your eye contact will be enough in many situations. Just your eye contact, because you won't look away. You won't look away anymore. You will be firm. And just that, most people are not firm with their eye contact unless they are pissed off or angry. But in that case, they are overwhelmed by emotions and they don't control the conversation anymore. So being able to look straight in the eye without being shy and looking away while being calm and detached, this is already insanely powerful to influence others. But for
Yeah,
this,
isn't it very funny
it's
when
probably you.
that's one of my favorite things is when you when someone sits down and they know you're a hypnotist and you start making eye contact with them and they start going, "Oh, what's happening? What's," and you've done nothing. I love that. It's happened a bunch of times. People think it's already started, but it's like what you said, it's about that congruence. It's about being sure of yourself. Yeah,
Exactly.
have you had any experiences where someone, because they know you do this, they just went into trance really easily or
Well, I would say that it happened to me in therapy sometimes because the person wanted to change, so much. They were so deadly affected by their problem and they wanted to get rid of it so fast that I just took their hand and I didn't even need to say sleep. They were already under. It happened sometimes, but it was in that case, it's more about the person wanting to change and the person recognizing that you are skilled at this. Therefore, they presuppose that just being in a session with you, they're going to change anyway. And just because of that presupposition, they go in there right away. Otherwise, I wouldn't say I had this that many times in real life. I mean, to such a powerful effect, except eventually, I'm growing more toward the 30s, and like any guy, you get more mature toward the 30s. So when you meet a really, really young girl, she might be more impressed. So those kind of situations happen sometimes, and I am really careful to not over to not play on that because I know it's already some of them are really already vulnerable just because they're really young, and they can be impressed by somebody who is really confident and more and older than them. So I'm careful about not taking how do you say advantage of that situation either. But I could see that
Well,
sometimes
forget
that just
girls for
this
a second. I
aspect.
mean, how early do you tell people that you study hypnosis? I mean, it is, I've definitely dealt with this, Mateo. I even in my jobs, it's kind of like I'm not gonna lead with that. I wait a couple months, but at the same time, I'm going, like we were talking about before, the mind is so interesting. Hypnosis is so interesting. Why not lead with it? I would rather, quote unquote, come out of the closet about being a hypnotist earlier because who knows what experiences that I can have in this limited time on this planet. I do a show that's popularizing it, or at least that's my goal with this. For you, I'm curious, like socially, as someone that is dedicated themselves to social calibration. What? How quickly do people know about you and your background?
That's kind of the very first thing out of my mouth in the beginning of the conversation. Always. Oh, when I was talking about a girl, talking to a girl, I was saying if she is really, really young, I'm careful about not using that persuasive ability I have too much. Be careful about
Of course.
does she really want something with me or not? Because I have understood that my level of confidence and getting older, I have this kind of power over younger women, and I don't want to abuse that. So I'm careful about not being sure she wants something too, and not overdoing it, not abusing that neither. But the topic of hypnosis, obviously, it comes out of my mouth on as the very first thing. And for the few people, sometimes, yes, this is the funny part. Sometimes it happens that people are like, "Oh, so it," like, "Oh, no, don't look at me," or "Oh, this is dangerous." And whenever they say that or mention some movie in which they've seen some hypnotist manipulating people in the movie, every time I do something like with opening my eyes really big and saying, "Are you really sure?" I just to see what their reaction, and every time I do this, they're like, "Oh, no, don't do anything." But it's just playful. But yeah, I always talk about it right away. And this effect you mentioned of, conversational hallucination, this could happen if the person has a lot of preconceived beliefs about hypnosis. If a person believes that they can be put into trance right away, or when they say, "Oh, I know on me it would work, it would work so well," those people, indeed, you might just say a few things, they might go under, but it is because of their own preconditioning that they have done on themselves through months and years, or through watching movies and imagining that it is the real life. They have been preconditioning themselves, and when they come in contact with somebody who is doing hypnosis, they are presupposing that just you saying something, as you mentioned with the eyes, the guys, pe the people saying, "Oh, you're doing something." No, not yet, but no, they're just presupposing something is going to happen. So those are sometimes in those situations arise. I would say the whole social calibration thing is more being aware of how much rapport and how much trust you have with people early on, being able to have this intuitive feeling of, is that person trusting you already or not? And most people are clueless, a lot of people are clueless about is their communication having an impact or not at all. Some people try, especially beginner salespeople, they try to get early on their, closing the deal, but they don't even have any real evidence that the person is agreeing on signing the deal or paying or whatever. So though
Yes, I
I
see
think
this all the time.
nonverbal acuity is probably the most important skill outside of the whole language, and understanding and how the unconscious works. And actually, nonverbal reading is part of understanding the unconscious mind, because nonverbal is all about what are the unconscious signals the person is giving off or giving or showing up. When you can read the body language, at least the basic, and basic understanding of the blinking rate and the breathing pattern, and seeing on their top of their chest or on their shoulders, are they breathing more slower right now, or are they accelerating their breathing, or did they stop breathing? You can pretty much see the similarities in their mind by watching their face and body at the moment you are saying things. When you get this, it's way easier to influence people, because you always know where they are on the process of being under trance or whatever.
This is very interesting. I am really grateful for the time you've given so far. My gosh.
Oh, it's
What?
okay. No problem.
No, this is good. I have more follow-ups on this. Let me ask you this very briefly.
Yeah, sure.
It won't be brief. It never is. But in terms of what you I guess I'm kind of leaning more towards the miracle angle. Yeah, because it's funny when you and this is just me. I'm such like a novelty seeking person in general and love this stuff. So when you were saying like conversational, covert hypnosis, what context? My immediate thought is, oh yeah, it would be a cool party trick if I could make someone conversationally hallucinate all of a sudden. So I'm thinking like a party where they may know I'm a hypnotist, but I don't want to do it covertly. And that's just the potential of this stuff. I mean, look, I think it's probably more impressive at a party too. If you were to demonstrate hypnosis at a social event to bring somebody into a direct suggestion, do an induction, make that. I mean, that's the stuff that looks cool and I've done before, and it's fun. But I guess back to covert hypnosis for a second. You mentioned your teacher, who the Ericksonian teacher you were watching and you observed was doing things just boom, making changes for people. What really is the power of this stuff? How far have you seen conversational hypnosis go, and covert hypnosis for making changes in the real world? Have there been any cases where, the number one example is I think of, if somebody were in a really dark place in their life, like to the point of suicide, have you? I don't know if you've ever encountered something like that and been able to like change that. That's like really crazy and extreme. But have you ever had an experience with conversational hypnosis or seen a demonstration of something where you went, wow, there is nothing overt here, and yet this person experienced a profound change. Yeah, I'm curious.
I think that is the feeling I had with Erikson, with Milton Erikson. That is the kind of feeling I had. But I would come, even if I think of potentially the few other examples I may have of this, to me, it really always comes back to what I have mentioned already, which is the social role. If the person doing the hypnosis is famous in some way, fame will overcome every barrier. When you're
Yeah.
too famous, well, if you're too famous in the eyes of the person you want to influence, 99.9% of their barriers will drop down, because we're social animals. We're, we are tribal animals. We're used to follow the leader. This is implemented in our neurology, in our DNA for millions of years. So when you, if the person is really into a position of power, into the social environment he is into or she is into, then it is possible to create those kinds of incredible changes without doing much. Think of the church, those biblical healers who say, "I just touch your forehead and the hand of God is going through me and you are going to
Yeah.
heal." Sometimes it does work, but it does work because the people who come to those events really believe into it and attribute some superpower to the person doing it on them. And when you have been into, I'm not debating here about religion being a good or a bad thing, it's completely up to you. Just constant mentioning facts. If you are attributing such a superpower to somebody who may or may not have that superpower of healing people just from his hand, just you believing it is possible, self-fulfilling prophecy, might do that kind of insane change. And then the NLP nerds might say, "Oh yeah, this is a special secret encoring technique." No shit, it's nothing like secret. It's just self-fulfilling prophecy. The person wanting to be changed, and the person thought that the healer has some magic powers. It is much more about this. Are you able to create that environment around you where people are respecting you so much and admiring you so much that whatever you do, it's going to work? And this is where those magical effects come in. But the idea of a guy coming or woman coming from nowhere, nobody has seen that person before, and nobody knows what hypnosis is, and that person out of thin air is going to use some super secret language patterns and do whatever he wants, I think this is complete bullshit. I think you need pre-exposure, or you need people who already believe into it to get that kind of super rapid, massive, incredible effects. Otherwise, it does take time. It takes time to build rapport. If people don't know you, they don't trust you, they have never seen you before or never heard about you before, and nobody told them that you were legit or anything, you will need time to establish trust. And the more trust you have, the more incredible the changes you can have with those people will be. But without that, I think there's a bunch of bullshit in that world as far as the miracles arriving. The miracles can arrive from Milton Erickson's hand, from Richard Bandler's hands, because they're famous. They're famous. Well, Erickson is dead, but maybe his ghost is still operating somewhere. I don't know. But
Right.
Bandler
What
is
about your
famous.
teacher though? Your time, I mean, do you think you're that's why you were seeing, I mean, you recognize the patterns that this guy was doing during lunch, but do you think that the authority must have been a piece there too, that you were recognizing?
Absolutely. I had never seen an NLP master practitioner before. To me, it was some sort of, superhuman ability to be able to do all of that, especially after reading The Game, because in The Game, Neil Strauss makes NLP look like it is some magical thing. Obviously, he's a really good writer, so he made it look like it is some supernatural abilities. And being really young, I really bowed into that idea. So to me, NLP was kind of a superhuman skill anyway. So the first time being introduced to an actual NLP master, I kind of thought his skills were incredible. And for the other people, well, not everybody changed thoroughly during this seminar. So maybe the trust I was attributing to him was over proportion. It's possible, because I was really fantasizing what an NLP master could do, like many people entering that field. But it still worked. It still worked in me witnessing tons of stuff that made me reflect on, oh, it can be used that way, it can be used this way. But yeah, for sure, the social authority plays a lot when people, and I've seen that on my YouTube channel too. You know, when in the very beginning there were a few people trying to catch me on the single tiniest possible mistake I would make, mentioning a book or mentioning a language pattern, or you know, when I use the wrong language pattern. So I say, when you try to do this, and the guy in the comments says, oh, you should never say try, because try presupposes you're gonna fail, so you don't even know language patterns, so you're not a real NLP master. I'm
Right.
like, yeah, well, yeah, great. You're better than me. Fine. I'm not even interested into getting into this who's got the bigger dick. I'm not even interested in that conversation. But those people were there in the beginning of my channel. They vanished from the moment I passed like 1,000 subscribers. Those guys vanished. Never again did I see any of them. So just having people listening to you and following you, this is a massive trigger for influence, because when the social proof, when people see well, I don't consider myself famous, but when people see you have some a knowledge authority on the topic, a lot of people will just listen to you and trust you without questioning anything.
Yeah.
So the social authority factor is pretty big, obviously.
You've been very, very pro-social authority in this interview, which is very interesting because of having so many. I mean, is this why you're out of teaching people covert hypnosis these days? Because you're kind of going, yeah, well, I mean, I'm
Oh,
teaching all this
no.
stuff, but no, I mean, look, you said they're tools. You said there are tools there. If you don't have social authority, and you're looking at these tools, how would they make up for it? I mean, if you're just meeting someone for the first time, what is it that, like, all of a sudden telling a story with a covert message can get people to change? I mean, did you experience in the days where you weren't as confident but maybe still had somewhat of the skills? I mean, were you able to at least achieve change that way?
I would come back to something I said earlier about better questioning and figuring out what specifically is the problem and how it has been lasted or whatever. Basically,
Did you do that
one.
covertly?
No,
Covertly?
no, I mean, well, you could call that covertly, but basically questioning the person.
Right.
It's the whole thing about influencing when you don't. So when you don't have social authority, you're not famous, nothing, you just want to influence. It's about figuring out who is in front of you. Therefore, it's better figuring out who is the person and what do they need. And this is an advice you will find in probably any type of persuasion course, whatever the topic is, sales, politicians, whatever it is, marketing. It's about figuring out what does the person need. When you can really evaluate what do they need. And by need, it's not just material possessions. Most of the time, it is they need recognition, they need security, they need to be respected, to feel that they are respected. You know, when you can identify those needs in people you're talking to, you can always target your con the conversation towards something they want. And once you give them something they want, most of the time internally, it's not even about material possessions, like they want to get so much money. It's just about something they want to get as a feeling. And once they get that feeling during a conversation with you, then it is super easy to bring them where you want to bring them. So it's more when you don't have any pre-qualified arsenal or any pre-selection, social authority or anything, it's much more about figuring out the person in front of you. I have tons of questions like this aimed at just at figuring out people. And as I said, I was studying the mind and personalities from a very young age. So probably this is where my intuitive rapport abilities come from, because I was used to try to figure out how people work. Why do they say that? So I was really used to figure out people, and that gave me an edge in in being able to build rapport fast and finding how can I influence a person by pacing first, by giving them something of value they want, and then it's easy to lead them wherever I want. But just on a side note, to get back on the, is it useful to use language and all that stuff if I'm talking so much about social authority? It is only that I have covered the topic of hypnosis and language so much that I don't really see what else I can bring that I haven't already said either in my book or in my courses or channel. I feel like I have covered everything I could possibly give to help others mastering this stuff. This is why I kind of grew less interested into explaining the details of it, but it doesn't mean it is less valuable.
And oh no, I mean, this is good stuff you
and
have
it doesn't
out.
Mean, yeah, and it doesn't mean in any way that I don't use it anymore. It's just that for me, it became so natural to use it that I'm not as impressed about it anymore because I have used it for so many years that for me now it's just the basis of being able to influence somebody super fast. It's just the basis of what I can do on a daily basis anyway. So I'm not, you know, as impressed about it as a beginner who is entering that field. That's why I'm moving into some other niche. But yeah, it doesn't mean in any way that it is not valuable or anything. It's just not on my level, you know, of advancement anymore. Like, I'm
that's interesting. I wonder if I'm going to get bored of it. I might.
It depends. It depends on people. It was just for me. But also, every 5 years, I have some massive, drastic change in my life anyway. So I wouldn't say to take me as a model on this. It's kind of messy sometimes. I have some drastic changes all like this. So.
No. Hey, we all go in and out of phases. It's totally fine. It's that. See, that's one of my irrational fears, and probably also what somehow sometimes has prevented me from starting projects is that what if I get to the end? That is a limiting belief that I've definitely carried with me at times. But okay, so let's talk about this then. You have moved into the. To Mind Moneda. So we have the Mind Titans, and again, those courses are still out there, and the smart thing to do is get the monthly package so you can just go through it, and also your YouTube channel that was taken down by Bandler and
yep.
John Laval's company. Yes. Guys, I consider it an honor. I think it's an honor.
Yeah,
Richard Bandler
sure,
is gonna
sure.
like threaten a lawsuit. I mean, that's the lawsuits are part of the NLP story, and now you're part of it, Mateo. But they really are. Yeah, tell me this: what is it that intrigued you about the mind beyond what you were doing already, as it relates to money?
Yeah, it is extremely easy to explain because after all that stuff, so all the stuff on personal development I had made and all the self-confidence I had acquired and all the persuasion skills I had. So but by 25 years old, I had a lot of skills. Like I could persuade, I could overcome challenges, I could motivate myself for anything. I was super productive. I guess most of the things people look for in personal development, I had most of it at by 25 years old, despite all of that, because I had never touched the topic of money before. Despite all of that, starting into the active life, you know, and trying to make a living, that was the most horrible thing for me, really the most difficult thing in life, despite having all of that. So despite all the skills I had, you know, to reassure, to reframe negative thoughts and heal the past trauma, whatever, I could do all of that. Despite that, whenever money was on the line, I couldn't use my brain properly, not anymore. And that is a pattern you're going to see in many, you know, spiritual gurus too, that they say they have mastered the meaning of life, they have gotten their third eye, whatever, but when money is on the line, they cannot do shit.
Yes.
And many business owners too, even if they are experts at one skill, like people are maybe experts at SEO or building a website, but when it comes to doing that skill, they are so programmers or coders. When it comes to doing that thing, they are so good at within the context of building their own business for their own life, they don't know how to do it anymore. Or they cannot motivate themselves anymore. They procrastinate for months and months. And I was like, how the hell can that happen to me, despite all the skills I already have to handle my own mind and my own life? It's impossible. So it made me really study heavily the topic of psychology of money. And even when I became financially independent with my own business and it was profitable, etc., even there, I still had massive anxiety. Just getting to sleep at night was really a challenge. And switching off your brain during the weekend, or when you're not supposed to work, but you think about this email you're supposed to answer on Monday. And I was like, I don't accept that. I don't accept that with all the skills I have, my mind is still stuck on worries, anxiety, constant pressure for something as stupid and as silly as digital screen. Because to me, money is just digital screen. I just don't accept that. So I did everything I could to unload, reprogram my own mind to feel not only keep on making money and figure out the strategies to make money on my own with my own business, but at the same time, with detaching from it mentally. And that was one of the toughest challenges of my life. Detaching mentally from the pressure of money was really one of the toughest challenges. I guess part of it is that it is also rooted into survival, because unconsciously we may be thinking, we may be believing that, well, which is kind of true, that if we don't have money anymore for a sustained period of time, we may die, which to some extent is true, because when you don't have food to eat, well, we're not hunters like millions of years ago. So whatever the situation, whatever the reasons are, I just didn't like it, and I just couldn't accept that. I wanted to get back my free mind, free spirit from college, despite having a business to run. I didn't want to be constantly pressured and constantly anxious about what if the money is coming in or coming out, will I have enough next month? I couldn't accept to worry so much about it. So I did all the work I needed to really overcome all of that, which is done at this point. And this has fascinated me so much that a problem can be overwhelming on that level, despite all the skills I already had with NLP, that I decided to make my brand now on this. Because I know I'm far from being the only one who has trouble with dealing with building your own business and dealing with the mental aspect of handling the pressure of money. Especially where I have an angle, because teaching people how to build a business, I'm far from being the most knowledgeable on this, nor do I even want to be. And there are people making dozens of millions every year, way more qualified than me to teach all the technical aspect of building a business. However, the mental aspect, I feel like I really have an edge on this, because it is such a taboo topic, even among entrepreneurs, because they always want to be this chivalry, this super alpha male who is not afraid of anything, which is kind of a necessity too. When you have employees, you need to be this father figure who is not affected by anything. But therefore, this when you are into that role of having to be the authority and run other people, etc., it's kind of very difficult to unload and get back into this feminine side of accepting to be vulnerable and accepting to be anxious. It's kind of very difficult. So it's not that the tools don't exist to handle that. It's that so few people talk about it openly, because they don't want to admit that they do have insecurities too about money, about their finances. Even guys making millions, they are fucking insecure about, will I have enough money next month? I don't know if my business is going to keep going. So they don't talk about it. Also, because money is a taboo topic in itself, and when a rich guy is complaining, it's not really understood, because all the poor people are like, oh, poor guy, he's rich and he's not happy. But therefore, there are people who have money don't talk about it, and it creates such a gap for mental health that I am here to solve by now.
Yes. This is awesome. This is very cool. I mean, I know that you have a course coming out on this soon. It might even be out by the time this episode airs. For people right now, for very simply, if there's something that you can give people to think about as a first step to understanding their own psychology when it comes to money, and can even help them improve on that. What would you tell people?
I think
I
one
know
of
some people
the
would say work out your budget, you know, write down your budget and look at where you're spending things, and then.
no
Okay, fair
to
enough.
me, well, okay, if the person is a really big spender and they always overspend what they have, in that case, yes, in that case it's about budgeting. But I never really had this problem. I can help with that, but I never really had this problem myself. So I don't consider that to be the biggest thing. I think the biggest thing is much more to clarify what kind of lifestyle do you want to live, and more importantly, why do you want this lifestyle? Because the lifestyle of I want a big house and I want a Ferrari and I want this is I can already tell this is not your dream. This is the dream of what somebody else has put into your head. The big house with the big tits wife with the big car in front of your house. This is not your dream. This is what somebody else put into your head. And because you have some insecurities or you didn't know yourself, you think it is your dream. It's not. Your real dream lifestyle is something you need to figure out. And from this dream lifestyle, based on your values, so this is the why do you want this? It has to come to some deeper values. Is your deepest value in life about family? Can be. Is your deepest value in life about helping others? Could be. Is your deepest value in life about accomplishing challenges or accomplishing your mission because you're really, you know, this manhood in the idea? Why not? Okay, this is your mission in life. You need to figure that out first. That way you can design a lifestyle that will satisfy your deep values. And from there, you can calculate the cost of that lifestyle. When you know clearly what is the cost monthly or yearly of your dream lifestyle, then you can figure out the ways to make money that will be suited for you. But just following the next big trend like Bitcoin or whatever, just because it makes money, the problem is even if you make it happen, which can happen, even if you make it happen with Bitcoin investing or whatever, if it doesn't suit the lifestyle that is really great, good for you, you will either get bored of it or you will just get desperate and not you will be
Yes.
wishful while being unhappy. So it has, and instead of looking for the next shiny thing or what is the fastest way to make money, don't look fast ways, look for meaningful ways of making money for you. I would say this is the big foundation. Figure out what is your dream lifestyle based on your values, based on what is important for you specifically. And from there, calculate the cost. And once you figure out the approximately, it doesn't have to be super specific, but approximately the monthly cost or yearly cost of your dream lifestyle, then you can figure out what would be the best way to make money that both makes the kind of amount you want to make per month or per year, and that satisfies the kind of life you want to live. Some people are really inherently passionate about one way of making money. Some people are passionate about real estate. Legitimately, they love the whole building up, you know, this breaking an apartment to rebuild it. They love this process. For those people, indeed, it is a good idea to work maybe 15 hours a day because this is their passion. So for them, I wouldn't call that workaholics because it is really their passion. But if it is only chasing money for the sake of chasing money without knowing what to do with it, then it's workaholism, and you may have the big car and all that shit, but you will grow desperate out of it. So it's more about figuring out yourself first than about chasing the next big money dream. I would say the best advice.
Oh gosh, this just makes me wanna. I'm going, how do I make money to read books and watch courses all day? Now there is a way to do that, and in a way you've done it, but that's just one internal question I'm having. And then the other question that comes up with this is, you mentioned lifestyle, but then we get into the crazy realm of, well, how close is that to this future memory we're trying to avoid having to visualize? Like, can I chunk down lifestyle so that it's a little less of this daunting, you know, what is even I've had courses on the past, they say, imagine the perfect day of your life, and I'm going, I'm not sure, but I really know what I don't want. I keep running into what I don't want. What would you say to someone like that that really is, they know they do have something that they might be passionate about, but they don't have the full picture yet?
So yeah, definitely one big component of my whole approach and message that is going to form this Mind Moneda project is that skills, money-making skills, cannot be removed from the picture when it comes to making money. So the foundation is figuring out yourself. But then when I said figure out the best way to make money, this best way, even once you have found it, is going to require skills. And if you start from scratch, you're not going to be able to aim for 10K a month, 20K a month, 100K a month. It will just not happen in the beginning. In the beginning, because you don't have skills. Anything that makes money is a skill. That's one of the big things.
Yeah.
That's also why I'm talking about learning new skills and learning fast, because if you want to make more money than you make right now, you're going to have to learn skills you don't have right now or not at that level. Therefore, there was a big part about learning skills, but we already touched on that earlier. So you're going to need to learn skills. Therefore, same thing. You initiate by what is the best dream lifestyle and what is the type of business or job that is the most likely. Now, I don't say you need to figure out the whole thing right away, but what is the most likely to bring you to that kind of lifestyle you want? And within that type of business or that type of job that is the most likely to bring you there, what are the skills required for that kind of business or job? And what can you do right now to start learning those skills? And then we go back onto the chunking down, you know, what is the most actionable step that you can do today or tomorrow, then feedback, et cetera. So break it,
Wow.
reframe the making money into which skills do I don't have? What are the skills
Yes.
that I don't
Wow. That is
have?
awesome. No. I love that. That's a really cool way of thinking about just making money in general.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, and I know you recently responded to a question that I put out to the public about manifestation. And it was a really good answer. Let me quickly ask you some more things related to money before we wrap, including, you know, do you believe in abundance? Do you believe in this? A lot of spiritual people talking about, like, you gotta have abundance, believe abundance is possible, and then if you don't, they say, oh, well, you must have a block around abundance. And I never know. Some people are talking about blocks, and I think they mean limiting beliefs. Some people, when they say block, they might just mean some energy inside of you related to something from a past life or whatnot. I'm never really sure what they mean, but yeah, a lot of people preaching abundance mindset in money making. What is your take on that?
Can you clarify what you mean by abundance? Because I have different definitions for that word. So.
Okay. I think it is this idea that you believe that there is so much money out there and so
Oh.
many clients out there, potentially, if you're doing that kind of business, that you know, you could bring in as much wealth into your life as you want.
I definitely do think it is, because having talked and having heard from, you know, big investors, by being, I don't even talk about investors who can invest 100 or 200K, but investors who can invest 100 millions like this.
Wow.
When you have heard stories about that, you realize no, money is out there. It's just you haven't figured out the way to get a part of it, but money is out there. Or you are not in contact with the people who hold it. That's the end of the story. You're not yet in contact with the people who hold it, but there is money out there. And we won't get into that story, but with the whole COVID, there are many stories about the vaccine that I won't get into this here, but stories that if you really know what happened on the inside of that space, Anyway, the money's out there. That's the only thing I would have to say. Money is out there. But
Even if if it's not a vaccine that has anything in it, there is no question, I said the word, there is no question to me that pharmaceutical companies do shady things in the background. I don't care if you have the best medicine that works in the world. There is corruption at the top. Yes, always,
Absolutely.
always.
And so I think this is what I insert on your on your comment on your post is that instead of thinking of this broad thing that is money because it is just digits on the screen, think in terms of skills, skills and people. If you don't have the money you want right now, or if you don't make the money you want right now, instead of wondering, oh, I miss that amount, or I miss this amount of free time. No, reframe it into which skills do I don't have, and who are the people that I don't know yet, or that I am not in touch with yet, who could be giving that money in exchange of a service or a service or a product I would provide for those people. So, from all the things you know, just start. This is a pretty broad here, but who are the people you have witnessed in your life who were holding much more money than you do? What were they doing? And this is a starting point for, okay, what could I be doing that could make me get some of the money, legally speaking, that those people have? Or could I do something similar to what those people do, if it is something that really you like? No, don't do something you hate. But I would say follow the money. Follow where are people who have money in your environment, your direct environment? Who are they? How do they make it? And what can you bring to people who have money? What is something that they don't have that you could bring for them? A service, a product, and can you invite something that they that would help them save time in their life? Now, start from who has the money, and how can you get some of their money?
That's awesome.
If that answers, I'm not sure it was really clear on this one, but if that answers the question.
No. I mean, and no, it's I do agree that abundance is a mindset. It's all mindset. It's all mindset. Therefore,
Oh yeah. So yeah. Also yeah. Something that I would have to add on this is that indeed I have a problem too with the things about money is just a mindset. To me, the whole erasing your limiting beliefs, opening yourself to, oh, it's all about abundance. This kind of thinking is gonna make you see opportunities you were not seeing before.
Right.
Like I said, you know, those guys who make a lot more, maybe there are guys right now around you who might need your skills and you may not even see this because you may have some limiting beliefs. This is where the whole mindset stuff comes in. But then if you want to physically get that money onto your account, indeed you need to take physical actions and learn physical skills. If you don't have the physical part, you're not going to get the physical money. It's as simple as that. So yeah, the abundance mindset is really easy, is helpful. It's not even essential, it's helpful. It's helpful to make you see things you were not seeing before. But this is just on the direction to take. On the part of choosing a direction to take, then on the part of physically receiving money into your account, you need to take physical action, obviously, for sure.
Yeah. Okay, so look, before we wrap, there's so many more questions, but I'll limit it to this. Tell me this. You've seen a lot of people in this space, self-entrepreneurship now, a lot of people just breaking free of their jobs, setting up businesses, starting practices online, then even perhaps doing what you did, starting a YouTube channel, building community. What do you think is the biggest mistake that somebody that wants to go into starting a business for themselves and becoming an entrepreneur, what is the biggest mistake and or, and you can answer if you have answers for both, myth about making money that can be helpful for somebody really trying to develop this for themselves?
So the mistake, I think, is really clear in my head. It is the whole productivity and organization. So not having any organization and studying tons of stuff, but never putting it into use. I think this is the biggest biggest pro I wouldn't call that a mistake, but a problem of and the biggest reason why all the people who study so much entrepreneurship never do shit or start and never finish, because they don't have any way of organizing themselves. And the way I organized my free time from college was always the same. I was chunking my weeks, chunking my days. So from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. I do this. From 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. I do this. I used to do that process of organizing my time from university already. When I became an entrepreneur, it was kind of easy because I already had 3 years of organizing myself. People who learn all that stuff about entrepreneurship, they don't have any sort of organization like this. They are only used to have a boss telling them you will be at work at 9 a.m. and you will leave at 5 p.m. period. So they're not used to take that decision for themselves. Therefore, they never really put into use all the stuff they learn because they don't have any way of organizing themselves. So self-organization, and I touch on that on the course I'm putting out. The last module is all about productivity and organization, because I have seen a few people in my audience. They know all the techniques at this point. They have figured out their niche. They know how they want to make money, why, but they haven't done shit yet. And what is the reason? Because they haven't designed any clear schedule of I'm going to do this on Monday, I'm going to do that on Tuesday, I'm going to do this on Wednesday. They don't have any clear organization like this.
Yes.
So
Oh my
organization is
gosh.
really the biggest
I
mistake.
relate to this.
And therefore knowing which tasks are important,
That's
there
what I
are
was going to
only
ask you. How do you know? This is a big thing for me. It gets me stuck a lot. How do you know what is the bit? I mean, with learning, it's the thing you're scared to do. With building a business, and I say this as somebody that has so many enterprises that could potentially go in. I mean, a podcaster that really likes doing radio, wanting to start a hypnosis business, looking at ways of creating education products. I'm always sitting here. There are times when I sit here and I go, what is the thing that would move the needle the most for me? What's the highest priority task I could do that would be in service of all those other things? And how do I know what that task is? What's your answer for that?
That's definitely the thing that keeps stuck all the entrepreneurs, even the ones who already make money, because at some point they have made money this way, that way, but they don't know how to keep going. And the same problem comes back. So this is completely normal. The best advice I would give you is, well, it would require to know better the business model you're into, but from what you know already, you just draw a line. You draw a line. The end of the line is you getting money. The beginning of the line is you today. And you draw all the steps. Of course, you cannot figure out all the steps, but the ones you know, the steps you know that separate you right now from you getting money. What are the steps you can think about? Maybe there is building a website, maybe there is reaching out to 5 friends that you know could help you, whatever it is. You evaluate all, you write down all the steps. And you just rank all of them on a scale of 1 to 10. Which one is the most important to get that money into my account? Always reduce to what brings money into the account. If you start thinking about too many parameters of, oh, but maybe I should also build that kind of skill set because 5 years from now I will need. No. Just what does bring money into the account? What can bring money into the account right now? Or within 3 months, what is the most likely thing to bring money into the account, physically speaking, in terms of actions, not in terms of theoretical principle actions. And the one that is the most important, that is the one you start with. And if it is not possible, okay, what is another thing that will make that thing possible? If you can't reach out to people because you don't have a website yet, then you build a website. You don't know how to do, then your first task is to watch a tutorial or to ask somebody for advice. You're always breaking down something you can do. So This is about drawing a line and figuring out the steps that are the most important. But I can tell you from experience, there also because I kind of know the business model you want to be into, there are only two things that really matter. The first one is creating content for the people you want to attract. The second one is directly speaking to those people, either through a sales call or
Right.
through door knocking or through a Zoom conversation, whatever it is. Only two big tasks, creating content and talking to people you will have as clients or you want to have as clients. This is anything that brings value to people. This is really the first thing you need to do. So for you, yeah, creating content, either a video presenting yourself or creating a text, some PDF maybe, some 10 pages PDF explaining your area of expertise. Start creating things that people will find valuable. The kind of things people will be ready to pay for, start creating it. If you only have the time or the capacity to create a 2 pages manual, you start there. You start by something you can create right away. And as I said, once you have done that, your brain is going to generate the next step. But if you never take the first step, it's extremely aleatory to figure out what are relevant further steps if you haven't already completed the first one. So yeah, creating content really is the
That's
only big
great.
thing.
Yeah, and I know that we took another of the many loop. I know I've opened so many
Oh,
loops on you this
sorry. And
conversation.
also
Mistake.
no, yeah, mistake, and you asked myth.
Yeah. So you
I
answered the
answered
mistake, which is productivity
I
and
yeah
organization.
I answered the mistake, and I think the biggest myth is the time frame, the rapidity. That so many gurus are advocating you can make money in just 1 week, 2 weeks, just 1 month. When you start from scratch, then it's only your skills. The only thing that brings money fast is the level of skills you have. So I was watching some interview of a guy who has spent 20 years into startups, starting building startups when he was 12 years old. And he was being asked the question, oh, what would you do if you were poor again or if you were at zero again? And obviously people ask this because they want to know what would he do in my situation, you know? And he was answering, dude, I don't even know how I could be in your situation because I have 20 years of skills built up. Even if we take all my money, it's gonna take me 2 weeks to get 10K back because of all the skills I have acquired and the network I have acquired. So yeah, network is another big one, but ultimately this is your skills that are going to bring you money. Your skills in advertising, your skills in coaching people, your skills in reaching out to people, your skills in creating content for some brand. Any skill you have started, you can develop right now that will bring money. The more those skills are advanced, the easier and faster it will be to get money. When you have zero skills or skills that are at the very low level, no, there is just no way to make money on your own without a boss, because having a boss and a job is the fastest way of making money. Without
Yeah.
this, without a boss and a job, you're not going to make fast money with no skills. Once you have skills, yes, you can make money super fast. But in the beginning, it's about building those skills.
Skills. I love it. I think it's such a valuable thing. Everything. I mean, yeah, everything you've shared here has been very, very, again, practical, which is the thing. Matteo Morelli, check out his book. Covert Hypnosis in Real Life: Secrets Behind the Only NLP Techniques That Truly Work. Love that. That's
Another marketing name.
I know that's kind of, it's a hypnotic title.
Good.
Hey, we always have to do these hypnotic titles.
Yeah.
Yes. And also, you can check out the legacy work of MindTitans.com. There's some great stuff there. Check it out if you want to see where Matteo has gone and the great lessons that are there. But if you want the latest stuff, if you want to jump on this train, would you say the best website is the mindmoneda.com or mindmoneda? That's MindMoneta, which we're going to link to in the comments, all these links. Where would you direct people? I know they can get access to the 5 Secrets of Wealth Attraction, which is great stuff, but where else can
I
people
would say
find you?
the so right now we are recording this on March 12, 2022. The MindMoneta project is just at the beginning. So right now I would say the MindTitan stuff is way more elaborate because there is 3 years behind it. But the Maneda project is only at the beginning, so right now it might be less interesting. People just arriving. But then it depends on your interest. If you are more at the phase of trying to figure out how to influence people, how to use hypnosis, or how to do NLP, definitely go on Mind Titans. If you are an entrepreneur yourself and you want to build your business or you want to grow your finances, definitely go on Mind Moneda and the channel I am building right now, the Mind Moneda channel, YouTube channel, is the one that is gonna I'm gonna really grow. I'm gonna grow with that one as big as possible. So this one is gonna be filled with all the things I have learned about money. Probably gonna take like 5 years before I get everything out of my head. So sometimes for content on this. So yeah, this is where people can find me, and obviously, in as you said, the book on Amazon. I would say those are the main ones.
Yes, and if Richard Bandler and John Laval are listening right now, is there anything you want to tell them since?
Just hi guys, there's nothing else. Actually, to be honest, I was not even I said that on some other interview that I never thought those breakdowns I did would work anyway. In the beginning, I just did a breakdown of Richard Bandler out for fun because that was something I really love doing for myself. I had just put that video out for fun. Turned out it built my whole business. So, okay. But it was not the goal in any way to start to base a whole business out of that. And I knew the risk, you know, I knew the risk from the beginning that using the image of somebody else might get a copyright strike. I knew this from the beginning. I did it anyway. It worked. So it was way more than enough to build an audience, which means that by now, even if the videos are out and channel is out, I still have the audience. So there is no problem with that. No, really, truly, I don't. It was even crazy for some friends of mine that when the channel was taken down, I didn't even take it that badly or anything because first of all, I knew the risk. Second of all, I didn't really know what direction I wanted to take with that channel anyway, so it was not that much of a big deal to remove it. Well, it was a big deal for the people who loved it, so I re-uploaded all the videos for them and made them accessible without the copyrighted videos. But for me, it was not that much of a big deal, so I don't have any harm or any grief or any grievance, you know, or any anger against Laval and Bender. It's just, and I, by the way, I don't even know if it is them directly who took it down or if it was the, you know, some team they have that is measuring all the stealings, because my stuff was probably not that terrible anyway. Because there are people throughout the years who have been stealing Bender's name, but made lo loads of money out of his name without his permission. This is not really even my case anyway.
Yeah, it's
So
not. It's totally not.
I don't even think I was that much of a big player in that space anyway. So I would even be surprised that Bender knows who I am. I don't even think he knows who I am. So even
Maybe
if they
we'll
are
title this
listening.
episode Banned by Richard Bandler. But that might get some intrigue.
Whatever. Just the whole stuff I had done with his breakdowns were just out of fun. So I'm more grateful for the opportunity of having built a whole business out of those videos, because it was unexpected and it was not in any way what I had what I thought could work. So my success is really based on his, because if Bender hadn't been there, then I wouldn't have been known myself. So I take that more as an opportunity he gave me indirectly, rather than any revenge or anything bad I could have to say about him for having initiated or not the takedown of the channel. That's fine, you know. It's just I was moving anyway to another topic, so
I
I
know
didn't
it's a
really
really
say.
fortuitous timing for you. It kind of very
Sometimes
interesting.
faith.
I know we don't always believe in the spiritual stuff, but it does seem kind of divine the way that ended up working out. And again, if you want to look at some of those old YouTube videos, obviously not the Bandler stuff because we can't get
No,
past that
the ones
lawsuit.
no,
But the complete YouTube channel, 150 plus videos, is also part of the Mind Titans Ultimate Pack, which can we link people to that? I have the link. Can we give people.
So actually, I removed the Ultimate Pack because it was attracting some people who didn't have any consideration for the courses. The fact you could cancel at any point was not a problem financially speaking because I had accepted that. But the problem was that several people who had discovered me through my book were taking on that offer, but without any interest into really taking action on the courses. So they just watched everything in 1 week and then canceled right away. And I'm not interested into having clients like this. So I have removed the offer.
Oh
I
my
have
gosh.
canceled. Oh, but well, the people who were already on it will keep it as long as
Yeah.
they want. But I removed the offer from the website and I transferred the YouTube channel to the Cover Hypnosis Mastery Pack that had
Oh,
all
so
my best
that's where
courses.
people can find it these
Yeah,
days.
so they will still have it by joining the Mastery Pack, which is all my best courses, and therefore the YouTube channel they will have access to, no problem. So, well, yeah, you can link that if you want, but just linking the website will be enough, I think.
Yeah.
MindTitans.com website, they can from there they can see the book, they can see the programs, the testimonials, they can see everything. So it will be more than enough for people being interested into that stuff.
Awesome, awesome. Yes, very cool, Mateo. Very cool. Well, look, thank you again for this conversation. Very excited to unpack. I love that you're going into the taboo areas of mind, money, entrepreneurship. I know it makes it sound so much scarier, but it's more interesting that way. I'm all about bringing about what's not spoken of, and NLP and hypnosis is a way to do that, and even money. So I'm excited to see where you go and what you unpack with that. Thank you again so much for coming on.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Matteo Morelli, thanks so much for coming on. And for the record, in light of all this conversation about career and success and money, Open Loops stands in solidarity with the writers that are part of this writer's strike right now in Hollywood. And one day, we hope there will be a single writer, even a bad one, that stands in solidarity with me. I want to thank Ronnie McGilvery for the free theme music. If you like this show, subscribe. Rate it, leave a review. It always helps get this content out there. I love you. Talk to you soon.